Father, we do pray that as we turn to your word now, you will just open our hearts and that through your word, you will shape us and equip us and prepare us to be faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen. Please sit down. Years ago, a friend of ours had a real problem in his job. Where he worked, it was common practice for people to add a few hours to their timesheet at the end of the week. It was a responsible job. They all saw it as a sort of unofficial bonus. But Rob was a Christian, and he wouldn't claim more hours than he had actually done. He expected that that might get him a bit of flack from his colleagues. After all, it looked strange that each week his timesheet had less hours on than everybody else, despite the fact that he was doing the same job. What Rob hadn't expected was to find himself in trouble with the management. He was called in and told that they knew that everyone was claiming extra. They went along with it to keep everyone happy. What Rob was doing was rocking the boat, so he'd better start claiming the same extra hours as everybody else. Rob wouldn't do it. He'd only claim for what he'd actually done. And it all actually got a bit nasty. But what a bizarre situation. Here was someone who was being honest and doing what was right, and he was getting into trouble for it from the very people who ought to have appreciated what he'd been doing. And it is actually quite similar to the situation that David, just one of the great Old Testament heroes, found himself in. As Phil said, we've been following through David's story, seeing how his experience helps us to know what it means to be disciples of the Lord Jesus out in the real world. So a couple of weeks ago, we looked at what is probably the most famous incident in his life, when David took on and defeated the giant Goliath. And you'd kind of think that after that, the whole nation, including King Saul, would have been delighted and just so grateful. But it didn't happen like that. If you heard last week, we saw that Saul became jealous of David. Saul began to see David as a threat, and he was actually determined to kill David. So David had to leave the comfort of the royal court, the security of his family home, and he had to go away into the wilderness. And I guess that even before we get to tonight's passage, that does tell us something important about discipleship. In a fallen world like this one, doing what is right will not always make you popular. In fact, being faithful to God and actually serving his people could get you into trouble. So anyway, David was driven away. First he went to Gath, one of the Philistine cities, but he certainly wasn't welcome there. So in 1 Samuel 22, David is kind of out on his own again. Let me just read the beginning of 1 Samuel 22. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered round him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. So there we have David out in the wilderness, living in a cave, surrounded by, well, the most motley crew you could think of, and he was just trying to lead them. And actually from there onwards, it was just a pattern of trying to keep one step ahead of Saul. And that brings us to 1 Samuel 25. And Anne's going to come and read for us.
The reading's on page 297. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him. And they buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Paran. A certain man in Maon, who had property there at Carmel, was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite. While David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, "Go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, 'Long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not ill-treat them, and the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you. Therefore, be favourable towards my men, since we come at festival time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them.' When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. Nabal answered David's servants, 'Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where?' David's men turned round and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. David said to his men, 'Each of you strap on your sword.' So they did, and David strapped on his as well. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, 'David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not ill-treat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us the whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him.' Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 sears of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, 'Go on ahead, I'll follow you.' But she did not tell her husband Nabal. As she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there were David and his men descending towards her, and she met them. David had just said, 'It's been useless. All my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him.' When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, 'Pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my lord sent. And now, my lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives and you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my lord be like Nabal. And let this gift which your servant has brought to my lord be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my lord, because you fight the Lord's battles, and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God, but the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. When the Lord has fulfilled for my lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, My Lord will not have on his own conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my Lord success, remember your servant. David said to Abigail, Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak. Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought to him and said, Go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Anne. So David's out in the wilderness, but he wasn't sitting around doing nothing. The wilderness was a dangerous place. David certainly wouldn't have been the only outlaw. This was a really lawless time, especially away from the towns. Gangs of bandits were a regular feature. They would mug any traveller who looked to have anything worth stealing, and they would help themselves to animals and crops from the local farms. But David wasn't that kind of outlaw. Even though he'd ended up with a motley crew of those who were in distress or in debt or discontented, David began to weld them into a small army, which functioned as a sort of neighborhood watch, protecting the farms in the area. As we heard, one of the local herdsmen said, These men were very good to us. They did not ill-treat us. And the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing went missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us the whole time we were herding our sheep near them. So one of the farms belonged to a man called Nabal. And as we heard, the name just means fool. I really have to say, I'm not sure what his parents were thinking when they named him that. And that word fool just means somebody who is morally deficient, somebody who's just bad, stupid. And this guy certainly lived up to his name, didn't he? Because at harvest time, David sent to him to ask for some food for his men. And that was a reasonable request. They'd been protecting the shepherds. They'd probably been living on survival rations because it was a long time since the last harvest. Probably other local landowners had been only too pleased to share some of the harvest which David and his men had made possible. But not Nabal, the fool. He accuses David of being a bandit, just like the others, and he refused to give him anything. And there it is once again, the reminder that living faithfully as a disciple won't always get you appreciated. Sometimes doing things to help others for Jesus' sake actually gets thrown back in your face. Nabal's response to David's request was bad. But David's response to Nabal was as bad, if not worse. David said to his men, Each of you, strap on your sword. So they did, and David strapped on his as well. About 400 men went up with David. David lost his temper. He kind of lost all sense of being God's anointed. In actual fact, at this point, David was on the verge of becoming another Saul, out to get rid of anyone who stood in his way or who threatened his status or who didn't appreciate him properly. Ironically, David was about to become what Nabal accused him of being. Phil was saying earlier We're coming to this stage in the story of David where after things have been going so well, suddenly they're not going so well. And it's also just about the first time in the story of David where we come across him acting in a thoroughly undisciple-like way. This is not what the Lord's anointed should be doing. And David would have seen that through if it hadn't been for an unexpected interruption. Abigail, Nabal's wife, hears about her husband's stupidity and she does something about it. She takes to David what he'd asked for from Nabal, but more importantly, she actually brings David to his senses. She reminds David who he is. When the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he has promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And David, who's lost his temper, who's ready to go and wipe out Nabal, stops. And he listens to what this woman has said. And he accepts what she's said. And he turns around and goes back. One of the things that's really difficult with all of this is seeing how it points us to Jesus. Right the way through this series on David, we've seen that pretty well every incident in his life points us towards what Jesus was going to do. David was anointed, Jesus was anointed. David took on and defeated the great enemy of God's people, Jesus took on and defeated the devil, the great enemy of God's people, and so on. What's happening here, David just doesn't seem to be doing anything that points us to Jesus. But actually here, maybe David points us to Jesus, not by being exactly the same as Jesus, but by being different. Because just like David, Jesus was driven away into the wilderness. In his case, it wasn't an enemy driving him away. It was the Holy Spirit. And for 40 days, Jesus was alone and fasting in the wilderness. And at the end of that time, at the point of his greatest vulnerability, Jesus was tempted. David's temptation was to do with providing food for himself and his men, and he was prepared to do anything to do that. Jesus' temptation was also to provide food for himself. But where David failed, Jesus didn't. He actually faced that temptation down. And so he is able to bring forgiveness for those times when, like David, we fail. So in one way, David's failure, just as much as his earlier successes, help us to see Jesus more clearly. But also, what happens here helps us to see again what it means to be a real world disciple. Because, sad to say, there is no shortage of Nabals in the world today, are the sort of people David wrote about in Psalm 14, which I think must have been prompted by this incident with Nabal, the fool. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There's no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Do all these evildoers know nothing? They devour my people as though eating bread. They never call on the Lord. But there they are, overwhelmed with dread, for God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. All of us have the potential to be Nabal. And if Anne had read on, he'd have found that Nabal came to the end that he deserved. In the end, it didn't take David to go and kill him. The Lord struck him down, and he died. But you see, as God's people today, as disciples today, we will face Nabals. Those who've said in their heart there's no God, those who are corrupt, whose deeds are vile. And when we meet them, they will test us. And it will be so tempting to become like them. We can learn from David to expect it and to be prepared. Because you see, when that happens, when we do face those Nabals, it is very easy to do what David so nearly did. Eugene Peterson wrote, "There is nothing more common in the spiritual life than starting out right and then going wrong. We start out with enthusiasm and promise, surging with energy and purity of heart. And then somewhere along the line, we're corrupted and spoiled. And actually, none of us is immune. Someone hurts our feelings, our self-importance flares up, and we start to act in a way that is so unlike Jesus. Discipleship is a long, hard road sometimes. And for all of us, there is that temptation to do a David and to actually deny our calling. And that means that all of us, from time to time, desperately need an Abigail, someone who can show us what we're doing and pull us up. Of course, mostly we don't like it when someone does that. None of us like to be told that we're in the wrong, that we're acting in a way that doesn't honor God, that we need to change. And maybe the greatest thing we see about discipleship from David in this episode is that he had the grace to allow someone to tell him off, the grace to let someone tell him that he was doing wrong, and instead of trying to defend himself, he listened. And it's tough doing that, but from time to time, every one of us needs someone who's got the guts to come along and say, what you're doing at the moment is wrong. It's not honoring God. You need to change your ways. Because discipleship is often hard. And it is never possible on your own. I need, and you need, those who will play the role Abigail played for David. And we need the wisdom to listen, even if they have to challenge the way we're acting. Let's pray.